What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Anime Corner Podcast. This is your host, James. Episode 115 coming to you after Super Bowl Sunday. I don't know if anyone watches Super Bowl. I know I do, but that's because I'm also a sports head and I like football. But anyway, I'll give you a little the little rundown on the football game. Seahawks won. It wasn't really a game. Seattle's defense was just crazy. It was just insane how good they were compared to the Patriots. So it wasn't nothing crazy. Halftime show was lit. Good old Bad Bunny killed it. And the commercials, wild. You know, and y'all know that the commercials are the thing of the Super Bowl and everything. People really just look forward to the Super Bowl. I mean, excuse me, not Super Bowl, the commercials, even if they're not watching the game, because it's always just some fun stuff or whatever. This year's commercials, hot garbage. And I don't even think there was a Doritos commercial or a Coca-Cola commercial. It was a lot of just AI. Hey, you want to gamble? AI. And Mike Tyson calling us fat. It was just what, like, no creativity with the commercials or anything this year. It was crazy. I was not expecting that. Usually the commercials, even if the game is kind of trash, usually the commercials are going to be decent. So you have something to look forward to besides the halftime show. So I don't know what happened this year. Very lame. What? Anyway, y'all here to talk about anime. We're not here to talk about football. If y'all want to catch me talk about the Super Bowl and everything with it, you can catch me on my other show with G and Greg, and we'll probably go a little bit deeper on the Super Bowl bruise and banter. But let's get into this. We're here to talk about anime. We're here to talk about love, you know? Valentine's Day is coming up. What is that? Saturday. So it's one of those holidays where romance media hits a little harder than usual. Whether you're in a relationship, freshly single, emotionally confused, whatever. Or maybe you're just here for the vibes. Romance anime has a way of meeting you exactly where you're at in life, especially on these type of holidays. And what anime does, especially with romance too, is a variety of different romances. Love isn't just one thing in anime. It can be loud and chaotic, soft and comforting, messy and poorly timed. Or just sometimes quietly realistic, maybe a little too real. So instead of ranking all these shows, today's episode is the best romance anime to watch this Valentine's Day by mood. And then these are just some of my favorites from all the years that I've watched anime. If you want comfort, I got you. If you want some comedy, chaos, or just emotional honesty, yeah, we're gonna get into that too. So just bear with me. We're gonna get into some of these shows and we're gonna talk about a little bit of romance anime, a little bit of romance that you can check out before Valentine's Day or on Valentine's Day. If that's what you want to do on that day, that's cool too. And these shows I confidently recommend to almost anyone. They get it with their pacing and the chemistry and just the payoff at the end. Really great shows that I enjoyed over the years. And hopefully y'all enjoy them too. If y'all seen them or if y'all haven't, check them out. To start off the list, we're going with Horimiya. And one of the smartest things Horimiya does is realize that romance doesn't end at the confession. You know how anime goes and they do the confession at like the last two episodes or something like that. And Horimiya kind of does that different. They do it pretty early on. And, you know, most anime build everything toward that one moment and then just stop with that. Horimiya kind of asks the better question of what does love look like after the excitement phase. And we get to see the domestic moments, insecurities resurfacing, two people learning how to exist together in a relationship. And it's just a romance grounded in daily life, quiet, warm, and just deeply human. Just where you... those early years of a relationship, especially like a young relationship and everything, just how you navigate those things and your feelings and stuff, because you've never been in this type of situation. I think this is the perfect Valentine's anime if you want reassurance that love doesn't have to be dramatic to be meaningful. It's really just a great watch and just easy to get into, and the OP is a banger. I love the OP. And then I think they have it's not a second season, but it's like an OVA of their like the stuff that they had cut out from the original series, and I think it's like 6 episodes or something like that. So if you want more Horimiya after you watch those first 12 episodes, there's an OVA right there next to it too. I really recommend this one. It's, like I said, easy watch. They get into a relationship pretty early, then you just see them navigate that relationship and how they're gonna coexist together in this new thing that they've discovered between each other. Highly recommend. Next one we got up, and this is a little bit of an older one. I don't know if a lot of people are still watching this, but Toradora. And it's a classic for a reason. On the surface, it looks like your standard tsundere rom-com, but Toradora earns its emotional reputation down the line. The characters are messy, emotionally immature, and often bad at communicating. Oh my gosh, that's probably the thing that pissed me off the most about this show, but I also believe that's what makes their growth throughout the show feel more real. And the show slowly peels back their facades and shows how the loneliness shapes their behavior. And the payoff works because it's earned through the discomfort, not shortcuts. And it's really perfect if you want nostalgia with emotional depth. And if you want that little love triangle for a minute before you go for the main girl and stuff. It's a good watch. It's an oldie but goodie. And what did they call her? The tiger or something like that. She's wild at some points in the show, but coming down to it, it was really good watch. I enjoyed it a lot, and this is one of the early rom-com shows that I watched when I got back into anime. And I thought, maybe I'm into rom-coms now, because before that it was just shonen, Bleach, Naruto, DBZ, Fullmetal Alchemist. And then I slowly started exploring other genres, and I found this one. I think this is one of the first ones I found. I said, yo, this is kind of good. So next one we got is a little bit of a newer one, My Dress Up Darling. Now I know this show is mostly about like the cosplaying aspect of it, but there's romance in it. The show's about attraction, but more importantly, it's about being encouraged. Gojo's passion for crafting is treated with genuine respect. Marin doesn't just like him, she believes in him and his craft and stuff. And that mutual admiration is the heart of this romance. Yes, there's fan service, I ain't gonna lie to you, but underneath it, it's a story about vulnerability, creative expression, and finding someone who makes you feel safe being yourself. And I believe that's romantic in a very modern way. It's one of those shows that, what was this, 2021 or 2020? It just came on the scene and kind of just snuck up on everything. And it's just those good old young feelings, vibes and stuff. And just those butterflies of your first crush and your first love and things of that nature. And then, you know, you throw some cosplay in there as well. My boy Gojo be getting down with these cosplays and sewing, getting crazy with it. And then he has, I forget what it's called, but the little dolls that he does for his granddad or something. I forgot what it's called, but those are dope too. It's a really good show. But if you don't like fan service, it might not be for you. But I haven't heard anyone really kind of discredit the show for the fan service, because it's not bad, but you know, certain things happen because there's this cosplay behind it too, and might even be cosplaying different characters and stuff. You know how that go. And just forewarning, on the season one, there's an episode where it gets kind of hot and steamy, but nothing over the line, but just forewarning, it gets a little crazy. On to my next one, probably one of my other favorite ones that I found when I got back into anime, is My Love Story. Now this show is just pure kindness. Just, this dude's the nicest guy ever. Nicest dude ever. And the confession happens early on, and instead of tension, the story focuses on trust, support, and then just choosing each other every day. I mean, Yamato is just all about Takeo, and Takeo is just enamored, just like head over heels over Yamato, and he's just allowed to be gentle because he's just a big dude. This dude's like, I don't know how tall that they make him in the show, but he looked at least 6'2". He's a big guy, and he just doesn't think like a girl like Yamato is gonna like him or anything, and she's head over heels for him too. And it's just joy the anime. Basically, they get together and it's just them going through the school year with being in this relationship and just trying to figure things out as well, and Yamato trying to be more affectionate with Takeo, and just doesn't know how to express that to him, that she wants to, you know, hug him, kiss him, and all the stuff you do when you are in a relationship together, and she just doesn't know how to do it, and it's just trying to navigate those feelings and everything. And Takeo too, just trying to figure out how to be the best boyfriend to this girl, and just how to be his normal self around her and everything. It's just a learning curve for both of them, them never being in a relationship and stuff. And it's a cute story, and I really I love Takeo's friend because he's always got his back. I forget his name off the top of my head because it's been a minute, but if you want a Valentine's anime that leaves you smiling instead of emotionally wrecked, this is the one. I'm telling you, like I said a minute ago, joy the anime. It's just joyfulness all the way through. Once they get to, well, even through before they get together, it's just happy, happy, happy. And I think that's probably my favorite aspect of the show. Next one we got, and I know this is probably a lot of people's favorites, it's one of my favorites, even though I haven't watched the movie yet, but Kaguya-sama, Love is War. And this one of the probably the smartest rom-com anime that's I've seen. Romance here is treated like a basically psychological warfare, and whoever confesses first loses, basically. But beneath the absurdity is a sharp understanding of pride, insecurity, and that fear of rejection that everyone is scared about when you're trying to ask someone out or confess your feelings. And what makes Kaguya-sama special is how it evolves through the seasons. The comedy always stays strong, but the emotional honesty slowly just takes over season by season. And I would say, yeah, that it's a slow burn, but it's done right. It's done really well. And I know people don't like how slow it can be, but I didn't mind it that much. I thought it was the perfect amount of just will they, won't they, just that slow pacing. And I don't know, I thought it was fine, but I have heard complaints about how it was too slow and that they never really go the extra mile, like the kiss or anything like that. But, well, let me take that back, because the last season it did kind of make me mad, because like when they go for the kiss or whatever, I think like a balloon comes between them and you don't really see it or something like that. And I'm like, yo, this is the third season. I mean, ain't no more hiding it now. And I'm sure that something else happens in the movie and everything, but I haven't watched the movie yet, so I just watched up to season 3. But I thought the slow burn was good. I thought the pacing was nice. And through the whole show, I mean, it's fun. It's basically feels like Death Note, the romance anime. Chika is a screen killer. She's just so fun. That first season when you get the Chika dance, if you haven't seen Kaguya-sama, Love is War, go look up the Chika dance and you'll probably be like, yeah, let me check this out. All the characters in the student council, they're all great. I really love each and every one of them. I forget Buddy's name. That's just like the quiet dude. I forget his name because he's just, I hate everything. I hate this student council and everything like that. And he's just a lovable guy. I think he's funny. So please go watch Love is War. It's really good. I promise you won't be disappointed. My next one, and I don't know if anybody really watched this one back in like, what was this, 22 or 21? Let me look up the year real quick before I tell you what the anime is, because I didn't hear anyone really, really talk about it. And I know it was on Netflix, but I don't know, I feel like this one went under the radar for some reason. Yeah, okay, it came out fall 2022, Romantic Killer. I did not hear a lot of people talk about this one, and it's probably one of my favorite ones that came out that year. And this one really just, it starts as a parody and then sneaks up on you emotionally. It actively rejects the romance tropes at first and only slowly explores why people resist intimacy in the first place. Anzu, the lead character, she refuses to engage in the rom-com tropes, and it isn't like from bitterness, it's just self-protection. And by the end of it, the show becomes a surprisingly thoughtful take on agency and pressure and choosing love on your own terms, even though I think it was like a love god or something keeps throwing these dudes at, yeah, reread something, I think it was a love god or something, just keeps throwing dudes at her so she'll fall in love, and she's not having it. She doesn't want to fall in love, she doesn't want that stereotypical rom-com type of love. She just narrows down all the tropes of what goes on in these rom-coms, and she just doesn't want to be a part of it. She doesn't want to be in a relationship. And these dudes, I mean, they're good looking, and she's kind of like, oh, maybe him, you know, the childhood best friend, the new kid in class, and yada yada. And she just keeps pushing it off. Only thing about this show is that it never got a season 2. I know it was back in 2022, but I've been waiting patiently for this. I was hoping there would be a second season by now, but nothing as of yet. And I don't know, I feel like there's a lot more to say in this show, and leaves you on a cliffhanger too. So if you don't like cliffhangers, I don't know if you'll enjoy the ending, but throughout the show, it's a ride, and it's an enjoyable ride. Like I said, one of my favorite from 22, and check it out. And the animation is just wonderful. It's just bright and colorful and just super fun. The next one I got is a newer one too. Tomo-chan is a Girl. Fast paced, loud, and just genuinely funny. And this show plays with the gender expectations without turning Tomo into the punchline. She's strong, emotional, awkward, and sincere. And the romance works because both characters are forced to confront how they see each other and not how the world labels them. And it's just, it's messy, but in a fun, earnest way. And it's another one of those childhood best friend kind of type of things, and her trying to get over that hump of being more than just a childhood best friend. And she doesn't realize that dude might already like her. She just thinks that because she's kind of tomboyish, she doesn't think he looks at her that way, which he has been for a while, but he doesn't know how to express his feelings either. So it's this back and forth and everything, and she's asking her friends to help her dress more girly, or, you know, do her makeup and all these other type of things, trying to get his attention. And he's trying to hold back his emotions and like the way he feels when he sees her do these type of things and stuff, and just kind of, oh, she looks so gorgeous, and trying to push those feelings down and trying to look stoic and not show that on his face, and makes her think that he's never going to feel that way about her. But deep down, he does feel that way, and he's just doesn't know how to express that to her yet because he doesn't want to ruin their friendship. And it's just a really great show. Fun. Tomo is just hilarious. Her friend too, I forget her friend's name. Oh, and then, you know, there comes a new student as well, and she thinks, oh, what's his name, Junichiro, is gonna go for her. Carol is the new girl, and she thinks that Chupachiro is gonna go for Carol. And then Mizuzu is her best friend, and she's just that girl in the background, kind of just, how to say, I don't know a word for it, but she's always just like watching. You don't know she's watching, but she's always keeping an eye on everything that goes on between her friends and at school and stuff, and just knows the ins and outs of everything that goes on. Really great show. I recommend it a lot as well. It's fun. Another fun one. And this one is just, this one's kind of hilarious, but Science Fell in Love, So I Tried to Prove It. Scientists, these two dudes, this girl and this dude, as scientists at their college, start liking each other and stuff, and they're like, what is this? So they try to prove what love is, or how these feelings work. And let's just ask that question. Can love be proven scientifically? And watching these characters try to really quantify emotion only highlights how irrational love is. It's really clever, playful, and surprisingly just, it's sweet between the two. And when logic finally just breaks down, they kind of just like, well, I don't know if this is even a way to, you know, scientifically prove it. And it's just a great pick if you like your romance with absurdity and brain humor. And then their two assistants, or the other two science students as well, are just hilarious. Of just watching them try to figure this thing out. Just 12 episodes. Well, 24 if you count the season 2 of it. And they're just putting each other in different situations romantically and trying to figure out how this makes them feel. And then they go to the lab and try to test this and just try to figure out, well, you know, my heart rose this many and beats per minute and yada yada. It's a lot of science and a lot of just different romantic situations that they put each other through to figure out what this means for them and how they can figure out if this love can be proven in the science or if it's just a thing that can't be proven. It's a good time. It's just funny how they go about these different things and trying to figure out how to do this and how to prove it. I mean, sometimes you can't prove these type of things. It just is. You know what I mean? So, on to my next one. I'm pretty sure I bring this show up a lot in this pod, but Golden Time. And Golden Time is about identity as much as it is about love. Memory loss isn't just the plot device. It's a metaphor for fear of changing, fear of losing yourself, fear that love won't survive who you become. And college life gives this emotional grounding that high school romances can't always reach. And the show is like romance for people who are unsure of the person they're starting to become. Because, you know, we all go through changes from middle school to high school to college, and college to regular adult life. And this thing with Golden Time is that my guy has memory loss. So if he gets his memory back, is he going to be the same person that fell in love with this girl before he lost his memory? Or if he never gets his memory back, will he fall for her again? You don't know. And it's just this emotional roller coaster of just trying to figure out who he is with his memory or without his memory. And there's a twist that comes towards the end of it. 24 episodes, and I don't want to ruin it for y'all, but Golden Time was one of those shows that I was like, yo, if this is what romantic drama could be in anime, I'm all in. And I know I didn't find like another one kind of like this as of yet. I mean, I find the messy ones like Domestic Girlfriend or Scum's Wish and stuff like that, but nothing of this type of caliber that really had me this engaged with the show and the romance in it. And just how are these two gonna either find each other or like get away from each other, you know what I mean? Now this one is kind of more drama. I mean, it's still romance in it, but there's levels to this. And it's Love and Lies. This is what, 2008 maybe? I'm gonna be looking it up real quick because I can't remember. I know it's a little bit earlier in the 2000s. Oh, I'm tripping. Why did I think 2008? It is 2017. It's still a long time ago, but not as long as I thought. And the show turns romance into basically a moral dilemma. When society decides who you're supposed to love, what happens to desire, your choice, and responsibility? And the characters make bad decisions, but they're understandable ones. And you get set up with someone that you don't really love, and the person that you love gets set up with someone that they don't love. And you try to figure out how to navigate this, because if I remember correctly, you couldn't get out of these betrothals. And this isn't really rooting for a perfect ending. It's about watching people struggle against the system that doesn't care about your feelings. They care about just doing whatever rule that they set up with. And these characters are trying to figure out how to get out of the situation so they can be with the people they want to be with. But the system doesn't let them, because the system is, whoever we pick out of this hat, I know it's not a hat, but whoever we pick for you is who your person is now, and that's it. There's no going back from it. There's nothing like that. And it's a crazy show, wild, and it's not as dramatic as I make it seem, but it's still pretty drama heavy, and the OP is a banger as well. And this is one of the ones that I added to my manga list to read, because there was nothing else after that. And I don't think there's gonna be a new season anytime soon. This is back in 2017, so I'm assuming it's one of those that just go read the manga to figure out what happens and stuff. So I did add it to my list, but I've yet to go and finish it. The next one we got, probably one of my favorite shows that I recommend a lot, and it's Wotakoi, Love is Hard for Otaku. And this is an adult romance done comfortably. It's a hard word for me to say today. The relationships already exist, and the story is about maintaining them. Shared hobbies, compromise, and communication. No real melodrama, no exaggerated stakes, just love as a partnership. And this Valentine's pick for people who want realism without misery. It's just a fun, cute adult romance, and just them valuing their each other's hobbies and stuff. And I mean, for the most part, they really like the same type of things, but I forget who likes to sell like spicy manga. I forgot who it was. And the other one just has to kind of like, well, I mean, that's what they want to do. They want to do. And then the side characters, you're just rooting for them to get together at some point, but I don't know if they ever do. And I don't know if this from the anime, I don't know if the 11 episodes is, if that's just it, or if there's more to with the manga and stuff. I never kind of look for the manga to see if there's more to it, but it's just 11 episodes and it's a good time. And then I love the characters of Hanako and Taro, because and they get a little OVA just because I think these two went to high school together or something like that, and just their relationship through high school to the workplace and everything. And those are the two side characters that everyone just roots for. I root for them, but who knows. But another fun show to watch from Valentine's Day, or just in general, just how, you know, adult romances and their different hobbies can be fun, and just letting people have their little quirks and stuff of what they want, what they like to do and stuff, like podcasting, for example. I bring my girlfriend on all the time, Jessica, and she's just all about it. So it's kind of like that, just loving each other's hobbies and just doing what each other like to do and stuff, and then going about it. For our last show, this one's a little bit of a newer one. I think it came out in the past year and a half or two, and this one's kind of messy, not domestic girlfriend type of mess, but still pretty messy, and more than a married couple but not lovers. Now this show really thrives on emotional confusion. Forced proximity kind of creates this tension and jealousy and a lot of mixed signals, but it doesn't pretend those feelings are clean or healthy. What makes it work is just the sincerity, and also under all the chaos of the show, there's genuine emotional vulnerability underneath all that. Messy for sure, engaging, very much engaging. It's a crazy show. I really love these type of shows sometimes, and I don't know why. I can't tell you why I like the messiness of some shows like this. It's just a fun watch. It's not happening to me, so watching it, I'm like, yeah, this is cool. And it's just these two, well, I should say four, because the school, they have this practical exam, and you basically have this marriage practical where you get a partner chosen for you, and you gotta basically almost like love and lies, but not on that type of level. It's just like practice, and you pretend to be married couples, and you monitor and they rate you on how close you get and how both of you are as a husband and wife. And our character Judo is in love with his childhood friend, and he's hoping that they get matched up together. And meanwhile, Akari Watanabe, she wants to be partnered up with her crush, Minami, and it doesn't happen that way. So Jiro gets with Akari and Shudo gets with Minami, and they're trying to gain as many points as they can so they can switch couples and stuff. But then, you know, feelings start getting involved and people start liking each other that you didn't think they were gonna like, and by the end of it is like, do we really still want to switch, or are we cool with our partners now? And it's a whole dilemma of just, will they, won't they switch partners, or are they gonna be actual couple by the end of this? And we don't get a real answer to it, because I think there was a season 2 supposed to come out, but I don't know if it has yet or not. But I think it, wait, which one? A Couple of Cuckoos, the one that didn't get a season 2 yet, right? I think this one did get a season 2. Nope, it did not. I am tripping. Which one did get a season 2? Was A Couple of Cuckoos? Let's see. Yeah, okay. It was A Couple of Cuckoos that I got a season 2. Damn, I thought it was this one. A Couple of Cuckoos is a really great romance anime too, but that's not the one I'm gonna get into today. It's another kind of messy one as well. But yeah, I mean, that's gonna be my list for today, and I hope you enjoy those. If you have seen or if you haven't, let me know. I mean, I'm pretty sure I didn't hit every romance anime known to man, not even close. But if one of those stick with you and stuff, I mean, just I hope one finds you. And I mean, if you want to talk about more romance anime, or if I miss one that's one of your favorites, you can always shoot me a message at my email, theanimecornerpodcast@gmail.com, or on IG or TikTok at Anime Corner Pod, or on Threads as well, as at Anime Corner Pod. You can find me on there and follow me on Threads, or you can join the Discord. That link will be in the show notes. If you want to join the Discord and discuss your favorite romance animes, I'll be there. We have a few people joining now. We're slowly but surely building that little community in the Discord. So if you want to be join that and, you know, discuss stuff on there, hey, the link is in there. Come and join us. We'll talk about whatever anime you want to talk about. Or if you want to also like recommend me an anime to watch and discuss on the pod, I'll do that as well. Just let me know. You can find me in the Discord or any other socials that I had just mentioned, and we will get to it. So until then, I have been James. I almost forgot. There will be no Black Lagoon episode this week. It'll be next week, because they got my buddy Charles working day and night the past few weeks, so he has not had a chance to actually even sit down to just chill. So I'm giving him a second to get his bearings, because he's finally gonna have a weekend off and kind of chill out. So it'll be a next week thing. It was supposed to be this week, but I'm gonna have to push it to next week, so I apologize about that. But you know, life be life, and sometimes, so it is what it is. But anyway, thank y'all for listening. I'll catch y'all next time. Peace.